We pray, Lord, tonight as we open your word together, that your spirit would be our guide and that he would speak to us, that he would quicken us, Lord, that we would hear what you would say to each of us. How we love you, Father, and we love your word, Father, because it is the revelation of who you are. Might you continue, Lord, to lead us in the truth, for your truth is amazing. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Proverbs, chapter 13. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner hears not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. So as Solomon takes us into this chapter, he turns his attention once again to the importance of paying attention. When the Lord is speaking to us through his word, by his spirit, through people around us, we need to be those who are wise, even as he says there in verse 1, the wise son hears his father's instruction. And Solomon, of course, was talking to his son, but we have a heavenly father who speaks to us as well. And we need to pay attention when he speaks. That word hear or heareth in the King James carries with it the idea of listening to and obeying. In other words, not just hearing, but doing, making it your own. As we get into the word together, that's one of the things that we need to try and do, is make the word our own. Own it, make it part of our lives, allow it to have active impact on who we are. Because when we're really hearing, when we're really listening, it's going to produce fruit in our lives. It's going to change us. It's going to cause us to be more like Jesus. And we need to think about those things. He says there in verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. So that whole importance of honesty, of being forthright in our dealings, to think about that which we are listening to around us, whether it's in our home or in the sanctuary or in our community, it's important for us to think about the things and consider the things that we're hearing, to sort through them and to embrace that which is good and to rid ourselves of that which is evil. I ran across an acronym for the word think, and I kind of liked it, so I'll pass it along to you. Think, T, ask the question, is it truthful? Is it truthful? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it needful? And K, is it kind? Those are all good measurements of those things which we hear as to whether or not we want to embrace them. In verse 6, righteousness keeps him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. There is that that makes himself rich, yet has nothing. There is that that makes himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor are not to rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. Solomon would ask the question, or cause us to ask the question, perhaps, what makes us rich? If someone were to ask you the question, are you rich? How would you answer that question? Well, let me see it. I'll check my bank account. You know, let me pull out my checkbook and see how that's going. But really, when we think about it, true riches are not in the physical realm, or not just in the physical realm. Verse 11, if you will, can really express itself in our lives as far as what true riches mean. Jesus is our example. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through or though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And so we realize that what Jesus did for us on the cross has made us the richest of all, because he imparted to us the reality of eternal life. That's a possession that we can never overestimate. We need to hold on to that reality. We are truly rich. Even when we hit those hard times in the material world, we fall back on the reality that the Lord knows our needs. He will meet our needs according to his riches and glory. And we can trust him to do that very thing. We need to see riches not only in the material realm, but in every realm. In our emotional life, the richness of relationship which God has given us with one another, that applies to our spiritual life as well. We are truly rich here. We have amazing relationships with brothers and sisters that can't be replaced. And I'm so thankful for that. And we need to be thankful. We need to have thankful hearts as we think about that. In our mental state, the richness that God has given us through his word, as he transforms us by the renewing of our minds. And you can go down the list of what the Lord is doing. The physical riches which he's given us, not only in material possession, but in terms of our health and our ability to move about and all of the things that God has given us. It is an amazing journey indeed. He goes on in verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. That's a powerful verse. And we see that playing out in our world today. There are many people who are hopeless. They're lost because they have no hope. And we have the opportunity to give them hope. We need to realize that our hope is fixed not in a government, not in our families, not even in the church. Our hope is fixed on Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us hope. He's the one that settles our souls. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, for he is a certain hope. I don't know what you're praying for in your life, but I would suspect every single one of us is praying for something or some things that we would really love to see happen in our life. And we have this hope of knowing that God is going to provide exactly what we need relative to those prayers in his time and his purpose. You remember the story of Abraham, how long he had to wait for his son of promise, years and years. And we're going, Lord, I don't know if I want to wait years and years. Could you step it up just a little bit? And yet we know that the Lord is not unaware of our hopes and of our dreams. That desire that he kindles within us. Verse 13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, and he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Verse 14 is so important. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. One of the things we need to do is allow the Lord to kindle a love in our hearts for his word. We were talking about it earlier tonight, about reading through the Bible. And I think that is just such a wonderful opportunity and task for us to take on this year and in the years ahead. Because he tells us here that there are amazing occurrences or ramifications of doing that, of falling in love with God's word. The psalmist would say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm forever grateful for the people that the Lord put in my life, in my early Christian life, when I committed my life to Christ, to help me to know and understand the importance of God's word, to disciple me and to take me through the word. One of the things that we see in the lives of those that are being discipled, like through the prison ministry and so forth, is the importance of getting them into the word of God. We have a series, very simple series of Bible studies that we use. We have seven right now. We're working on an eighth, and hopefully we'll be able to add some more in the coming days. Very simple. The Christian would look at those and say, well, that's just way too simple. Not at all. Because people need to know and understand what the Word of God is about, what it looks like, how does it put together? You know, those are the kinds of things that we take for granted after we've been walking with the Lord for years, perhaps. And we forget what it was like as a newborn babe in Christ. And so those studies, we see the light coming on in people's lives as they begin to know and understand God's word, to realize that John and 1 John aren't the same book. You know, that the Old Testament and the New Testament are important, and here's what they accomplish, and some things like that. And so we need to be those who not only are quick to share our faith, to see people come to know Christ, but to take it the next step. We need to be those who are also discipling them if we have the opportunity, or seeing that they're discipled. Because Psalm would remind us that the word is a fountain of life, and it protects us from the snares of death. When I'm tempted, when I'm being pulled by the world, I need to run to God's word. I need to meditate upon it. I need to run it through my head. I need to give him praise for what he's done, because there's great deliverance in that. In verse 16, we read, every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He keeps talking about the importance of knowledge and understanding, which is what we gather from the Word of God. I love Psalm 17, right at the end of the Psalm, the last verse, verse 15, says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. That's our goal, you see, as believers in Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. We sang it tonight, right? Jesus at the center of it all. Do we really mean that? Do we want that in our lives personally and in our families and in the fellowship as a whole? As we look into the mirror of God's word, it will reflect our image back to us and help us to see those things which God wants to put into our lives, but also those things which God wants to remove from our lives. And that's why we need to spend time in God's word. It's the great relief, the great sigh, if you will, as we realize that God is at work and that he's doing an amazing thing in your life and in my life. We're being changed. It may be just a little bit each day, but it is an ongoing process. And I love that promise that we will one day awaken his likeness. Listen, verse 17 says, a wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. We are either messengers or we're a mess. We are either messengers carrying the word that God has given us and pouring it into the lives of other people, or we are a mess, not accomplishing at all what God wants to see happen in our lives and the lives of those around us. The ministry that we do, whether it's in the prison or on the streets or in our families, it's important to minister to the personal or even physical needs of people, but the greatest need is Jesus. We have to take them there. We have to take them there. That's what's going to change their lives. It's not a new sleeping bag or a new tent or a new situation in the prison. Whatever it happens to be, it's Jesus. It's Jesus that's going to change them. And we
We need to remember that and keep it central. I love what the Lord is doing through the ministries of this body and the body of Christ as a whole, as people are hitting the streets and they're sharing the love of Jesus with people out there, as they're going to the prisons, as they're going into the schools. There's ministries blossoming in Roseburg and the surrounding areas to the youth. And it's powerful. It's exciting to see what the Lord is doing. And we need to keep praying for those things, but we need to remember that Jesus is what will change people's lives. Verse 20, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. With whom do we spend time? Now, wisdom or folly are passed on from one to another. We need to make sure that our core relationships are centered in Jesus. And we want to encourage our kids to do the same. We want them to know the importance of walking with those with whom they are agreed. Now, we all know the importance of having non-Christian acquaintances. So important, because we can minister into their lives, but we need to make sure that we keep that in perspective, what our purpose is for having those relationships. Our closest, most deep, and intimate relationships should be with those who are lovers of Jesus. He goes on, evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinners is laid up for the just. I love that verse. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of sinners is laid up for the just. We need to leave a witness, a reality, an inheritance, if you will, to our kids and to the next generations, not just our children, but those around us. We have to be that great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews talks about. And we can do that just methodically, just as we move through our lives. But it's important for us. And I, you know, people say, well, you know, I didn't have godly parents, or, you know, we didn't go to church. So start a new generation. I mean, that's the key. It has to start somewhere. Someone has to say, enough. This is the day that we're going to choose to follow the Lord as a family. And you begin making that journey. Is it going to be difficult? Sure, it's going to be a challenge, because breaking out of that mold is hard. Satan doesn't want to lose those generations. But you see, as we become focused on that, the Lord will do his work. We need to be sure to give wisdom to our children, pass it along to them. He goes on there in verse 23, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. The righteous eat to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. We need to be faithful in raising our children in the ways of the Lord. Solomon would say, you know what? Physical discipline is part of that journey. And we need to know and understand that. It's not the first resort necessarily. I mean, we all know some of our children are, you can melt them with a glance. Others of them, not so much. They're like a little tank, you know, and they just are going, 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 and they take a little more direct attention. But Solomon says, you know what? If you care for your son, for your daughter, you will discipline them. I'm so thankful for that heritage in my life. My parents, my dad, my mom was a little more, not so much disciplined, but my dad definitely knew the value of that. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for it. I have good memories of his love for me in that area. In chapter 14, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her own hands. Wisdom, Solomon says, calls to build, not demolish. But we have to choose. Ladies, you have to choose to build or to destroy. Our lifestyle shows our relationship with God. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. He that walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of an ox. I love that. You see, verse 3 tells us that loose lips sink ships. We need to have discretion about the things that we say. We need not to speak in pride, but rather in humility, because it says that the lips of the wise will preserve them. Verse 4 is an interesting verse. The ox can be an inconvenience at times because they make a big mess. But what they bring with them is plenty. He says that much increases by the strength of the ox. And I like the reality of that, how it plays out on the ground in the agricultural community. But you can take that same principle and apply it to the church. Sometimes we have people that kind of make a mess. But that's how we grow. That's how we mature. We need to make room for people to come along, to learn, to make messes, which we have to clean up. But we know that in the final analysis, the increase is going to be great, because they're going to grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus. Not everybody's going to do it like you or I might do it. And we need to make room for that, as frustrating as it can be. You know, when you're riding with somebody in a car, you know what I'm talking about? They don't drive like you drive. And you're going, you want to say, come on, get with the program here, you know? But you can't. You need to give them grace. And the same is true in the body of Christ. Listen, if God has given you a ministry, we need to understand that it's not our ministry. It's his ministry. We're simply tools in his hand. We don't own that ministry. We want to be faithful to it. But make room for others to come alongside and grow in their ability to serve as well. They will be blessed. You and I will be blessed. The body will be blessed. That's how growth takes place. I'm so pleased to see our young people stepping in and beginning to do ministry, hands-on stuff, doing communion and some things like that. That's awesome. That's awesome. And because they're the next generation, they're going to carry the message forward. They're going to carry the ministry forward. And we want them to step up and be a part of that. It can be inconvenient at times, but it's profitable. We just need to pray for patience, right? Patience. Well, I don't know. You can pray for patience if you want. Verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Be a faithful witness. Be a faithful witness of God's provision. Make it a purpose that every day that you're going to speak into someone's life about something that God is doing in your life, whether it's one of your kids or your mate or a coworker or somebody on the street. You know, isn't God good? Look what he gave us today in this weather or whatever. It changes us and it changes them. Make it a purpose. Make our lives purposeful. That's what we need to do. Verse 7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. How do we know? Well, we know by discernment. Discernment is essential in our lives, and I would suggest that it is paramount in these days, because there are many spirits moving about. The spirit of Antichrist is alive and well, and he's doing his thing. He's pulling out all the stops. And I love what Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now that is in the context of what we've been talking about pretty much all evening, and that is the Word. The Word. Being in the Word is what's going to make us wise unto salvation. Being in the Word is what's going to give us discernment. The word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It will accomplish all those things in our lives. We want to be able to discern between good and evil, to know the difference. He goes on there in verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. You know, people mock spiritual things. You've probably experienced it in your workplace or on the street if you do street ministry. You know, people that you talk to that you perhaps knew from the old days, you know, they joke about hell. Have you ever had somebody joke about hell? Oh, you know, I'm gonna drink beer with my buddies in hell. It's gonna be great, you know. They have no idea what they're saying. They're mocking, they're mockers. That's what he's talking about here. We need to understand the reality of judgment. Listen, when we're talking to people about Jesus, we begin with his goodness. We begin with his grace and his mercy. We take them to the reality that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. But if they reject his goodness, if they reject his grace, if they reject his mercy, there is a time to take them to the judgment, to help them to know what's waiting for them should they choose to reject what Jesus has given them. There's no need for debate. There's no need to get angry or upset or mean, beat them over the head with your Bible or whatever. We simply need to speak the truth in love and let the Holy Spirit do his work. If we do that, people's lives will be changed. I just it's so amazing to watch the lives that the Lord is touching in these days. I just read recently, who was it? Mr. T or what? One of those guys gave his life to Christ. What's that? I'm sorry. Yeah, Hulk Hogan. That's the one I was thinking about. Yeah. Yeah. And he just, yeah, he says, I'm all in for Jesus, man. He said, the best day of my life. I thought, you know, now pray for him because he is certainly a target. The evil one. So many of the times I have mixed emotions when these really highly visible people come to know Christ. Excited about it, but I'm also thinking, Lord, we need to pray over them because they're going to be under attack and a lot of pressure. And so it's an amazing time in which we live, to be sure. Verse 10, the heart knows his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. What does that mean? Well, really, Solomon says to us, our sorrows and our joys are very personal, very personal. Sometimes we want to share those things with people, but they just can't connect. They can't relate. I remember we've had opportunity to go to Israel a number of times, and we come back just excited, you know, about all the things that we'd seen and did and all of that. And we wanted to share it with people, you know, and you start talking to them and you can basically see their eyes just kind of roll back and just glaze over because, you know, we're filtering it through experience. They're just filtering it through what we're sharing with them. And there's no connection there. And that's kind of what it is with our sorrows and our joys. We want people to connect, but sometimes it's hard for them to do that. But I love the fact that our joys are very personal and they're powerful. I love Charles Spurgeon set out some sources of joy. The joy of sin forgiven. The joy of sin conquered. The joy of restored relationship with God. The joy of accepted service. The joy of answered prayer. The joy of usefulness for God. The joy of peace in time of trouble. Highest of all, the joy of communion with God. We, guys, can pray to that end. Lord, might we have joy in those areas of our life. We want to remember all you've done for us, Lord. In verse 12, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We know the reality of that verse, don't we? There's been times in our lives, perhaps, where we went the wrong way, thinking that we were going the right way, but found that it was only leading us to death, and the Lord intervened. And I love that. It tells us of the importance of looking to God for direction, because you see, sin obstructs our vision. Funny thing, I have the photo gray lenses. So when I'm outside, my lenses change, and even in the car now, they've got them so they will change a little bit. Well, anyway, the other day we were at our daughter's house, and we were sitting in the front room. I was sitting at a table right by the picture window in the front room. We're sitting there talking, and the sun was shining in, and it was shining in from this side. And so I was talking with the family. We got up and we went into the kitchen and then into the dining area. And I thought, well, that's really weird. Just really weird experience. And then all of a sudden, I realized that this one lens on the left side, half of it was black and half of it was white because the sun was coming in at an angle. So it totally obscured my vision. And I thought, that's what sin does. That's exactly what sin does. We don't realize it's happening, but when we begin to look, all of a sudden we realize we're being impacted by something. We don't really know what's going on. But that's what the evil one does. In verse 13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of mirth, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. God's provision needs to be our source of joy. You remember that old song, Tears of a Clown? Years ago, well, some of you probably weren't even born. But anyway, Tears of a Clown talked about that. And I thought of lives, you know, in the film industry or in the acting realm, of those who they appear to be so happy that they're always joking. I thought of Robin Williams, an amazing comedian. I mean, he was an amazing ability to take things of life and make them funny. But in the final analysis, although he was laughing on the outside, he wasn't laughing on the inside. And there are so many people like that in our experience. We need to know and understand, Lord, help me to have discernment to see beyond the laughter. Help me to see, Lord, if their heart is hurting, if they're struggling. Help me know how to minister into their lives, Lord. Because there are many, many people just like that. He goes on, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. God's provision needs to be our source of fulfillment. Guys, there is no going back. When we were here in the sanctuary before service, we were talking, somebody was sharing that they were having a little worship service at their house, and they had a little sign that said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And we sing it, right? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. It's easy to sing. It's a little bit harder to follow through. But that's what he's telling us here. We need to follow through. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but fools rage. The fool rages and is confident. We need in these days to keep our eyes on the prize. Listen, the Christian life isn't static. We know the pressures of life. Every single one of us in this place, we all have them in various areas. And it's easy to become weary of the pressure, weary of the challenge, really of the difficulty. But we need to keep our eyes on the prize. Because what can happen so easily is to simply want to step away from the pressure just for a bit. And Lord, I just need relief. I've seen it happen so many times. People will begin to drift, not connecting with the body like they used to, always having a reason why they can't do this or can't do that. And over time, they just drift farther and farther away until all of a sudden they're not there anymore. And it's a heartbreak. You know, we need to pray for one another. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help our love for God be our stay, our anchor in the midst of that temptation to pull away. We all get weary, guys. We all get weary. But our God is able to give us the strength that we need. I don't want to do anything, and I'm sure you don't either, that will grieve the Father. We want to bring joy to his heart. So we just need to walk with him. The simple, verse 18, inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Spiritual understanding has its own reward. You know, the psalmist says, your word has made me wiser than all my counselors. Now, we don't get into the word to be wiser than all our counselors, but that's a result of spending time in God's word. He quickens our understanding. It's amazing. You know, have you ever noticed that you'll be reading the word of God and something will speak to your heart in that devotional time or whatever it is? And then you'll go out about your day, and maybe that day or the next day or 2 days down the road, all of a sudden the Lord brings a situation into your life, and that verse or that section of verses comes back to you, and you can speak it into the situation. It's so wonderful when the Lord does that. I love it when the Lord does that. And I could just see him up there. He just gets smiles, you know, when we go, wow, God, you're awesome. And he is indeed that. Verse 19, the evil bow down, bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. He that despises his neighbor sins, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. One of the things we need to do, two of the things we need to do, but there's probably more, but one is, we need to be praying for our neighbors. We need to be praying for them to come to know Jesus if they don't. We need to be praying that they'll be built up in the faith if they do. But the other thing we need to do is we need to look for opportunities to minister into the lives of people that can't minister back. The street ministry is one way to do that. But the Lord opens those opportunities. You see, verse 24 says, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. It tells us that there's an overflow of what God's doing in my life. And when that overflow is happening, it causes you to take action. But the same is true on the other side of the coin. If we're not walking with the Lord, if we're allowing the flesh to control, that too will control our actions. That's why we need to be rich in the things of God. Focused on those things. Listening to his word on YouTube or whatever app you use to listen to God's word. Just allow it to run through your mind when you're going down the road. It's a powerful experience when we do that. Verse 25, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. You ever consider yourself a soul deliverer? Don't you know that's what you are when you're sharing Jesus with people? A soul deliverer. Not only eternally speaking, but presently speaking. You never know what fruit is going to come from that which you are sharing. In the fear of the Lord is confidence, strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. I love that. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence, is a place of safety. It caused me to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember the story? They're commanded to bow down before the image. And they said, you know, Lord, King, we're not going to bow down. And the Lord can deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow down. So drop kick off the platform into the burning fiery furnace. But they had a strong confidence. And in the midst of that fiery furnace, in the midst of that difficulty, Jesus shows up, the fourth in the fire. And the Lord will do that in your life and mine as well. When we stand up, we can trust the Lord to be our confidence as we fear him and walk with him. And I love the fact that it carries on, and his children shall have a place of refuge. What you are doing in your life right now in these days is going to spill out into the lives of those around you, your children, your grandchildren, your family members. We need to be those who are filled to overflowing. We sing the song, right? Fill my cup and let it overflow. Oh, fill my cup and let it overflow. Oh, anybody remember that song? Fill my cup and let it overflow with love. That's what we need to do. Lord, fill me that I might spill out into the lives of other people. The fear of the Lord, verse 27, is a fountain of life. There it is again, the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Wow. Solomon would say, unbridled anger is destructive. It feeds on itself. And we live in an angry world. No more can we do silly things on the road, because we never know what the driver that we do that silly thing to is going to do. It's just, you know, people get shot, people get run off the road, people, all of this, people are just angry. I was going through a parking lot the other day. I headed towards the main street, and it was I was on the road between two parking lots of two stores, and there was this person coming across, cutting across the parking area, and I didn't stop to let them cut across the road to go into the next parking area, and I mean they flipped out. Man, I couldn't hear what they were saying. I'm probably just as well, but they just flipped out. And I thought, man, you are one angry person. It was a woman. Oh boy, was she wound up. I thought, you know, how sad. How sad is that? And we just need to realize that that anger will be destructive. But on the other hand of it, in verse 30, it says the sound heart, what? Builds up. It builds up. The sound heart builds up while the unbridled envy eats up. Don't envy those around you. Be satisfied with what God has provided. God knows what he's doing, and he knows what's best for us and our families. He that oppresses, verse 31, the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honors him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. The righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's a verse that our leaders need to pay attention to. That's exactly where we are. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Right now, we are in that place of reproach, and we need to pray. We need to pray diligently, because there is a place of rest, and it's in the wisdom. We need to be praying that God will give wisdom to our leaders, because they seem bent on taking us to destruction. I love the verse that says the king's heart's in the Lord's hands. That's what we need to pray. Lord, would you please wrap your hands around the hearts of our leaders and turn them, Lord? You can do that. We need to pray to that end. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. One day the king's going to come, guys, the king of kings, and he is going to move in power. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you imparted to Solomon and that you preserved for us through his pen. Lord, we want to be those who pursue after you, Lord. We want to be those who have a heart after you. I pray, Father, that you would help us to walk in humility before you, Lord, and that we would link up with one another, where we are stronger together than we are apart. Help our love for Jesus to grow daily, Lord, and then might that love spill out into the world around us. Lord, we're excited for these times, and we thank you, Lord, that you are moving, Father. We know that the day will come when Jesus will come for his church. But in these days, you've given us such great opportunities, Lord, to have your word, to know your word, to impart your word to others, Lord. And I pray we would do that. Might you pour out your spirit, Lord, in powerful ways in the world about us, Lord. Might you cause us to yearn after that continual filling of your spirit, that anointing by your spirit, Father, that we might be empowered for service, Lord. And then might we step out from the natural realm into the supernatural realm, Lord, that we might see you do great and mighty things, that your kingdom would be built and that people's lives would be changed forever. I pray that the Lord would bless you as you seek his filling, as you seek his spirit, as you walk with him. Might you see him do great and mighty things, not only in your lives, but through your lives as well. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.